There are many places in the world where journalists risk and sometimes lose their lives to pursue a story. But there are some places where the very act of reporting is so risky, few journalists even attempt it. One such reporter, who uses the pseudonym Lee to protect her identity, has been working in a country in which there's no reporting.
In Zimbabwe, practicing journalism is forbidden. Reporters caught working without government permission face beatings, long prison sentences, or worse. The job becomes especially perilous when the story is about the local police force, focusing on police brutality. So why do reporters like myself take the risk? Some do it for the thrill, others for the fame. Others do it because they knew Zimbabwe before it became the police state dictatorship it is today and they feel morally obligated. I do it because I know a lot of Zimbabweans. They are wonderful people who don't have a voice to tell their stories. Last month, my driver and I set out to cover a women's rights peace march in the center of one of the largest cities in Zimbabwe. I cannot be more specific about the location for security's sake. The group is called WOZA, which stands for Women of Zimbabwe Arise. It's one of the only organizations that still protests publicly against the current regime. Jenny Williams is its leader.
We generally speak out directly about things that they would prefer people don't talk about. Most of our members feel that if they're going to be dying, can they not die silently?
She told us that the women and men who dare to join in are often beaten, arrested, and tortured.
And this is a government that does not respect rights. They're a government that does not respect a mother's right to defend her children, a mother's right to call for a better Zimbabwe. And when we go in the street doing that, they get a little bit peeved at us.
Following her advice, on the day of the protest, we literally dressed for jail. It's midwinter in Zimbabwe and freezing, and according to the WOZA women, the police only allow prisoners 3 items of clothing. We made sure that what we wore was as warm as possible. We also took toilet paper, because the word on the street is that there hasn't been any in jail in Zimbabwe for years. Everything about the protest was kept secret until the last possible moment, including the location. Moments before the group began, the streets seemed completely empty. Suddenly, out of nowhere, hundreds of people assembled with signs and banners, chanting. It was a moving scene. The marchers knew what was about to happen, but they kept going and held their banners high. Within minutes, Zimbabwean riot police had broken up the crowds, swinging their batons at anything that moved or breathed. Women were screaming, police were beating, and suddenly I was caught up in the mob and beaten myself. After it was all over, they let me go, perhaps wanting to avoid an international incident. Some women were detained for 3 days and beaten much worse than I. One woman, Rosie, told me days later that the police had beaten her repeatedly in custody. They beat me on the breasts, she said. Now when I breathe out, I have a stabbing pain in my chest. I'm not going to give up, she said.
Until everything is okay.
And they all keep marching. I was amazed when I learned that they had marched the following week in another part of the country. I find myself asking, is it worth it for these courageous women? Will Rosie, who can barely talk because she has been beaten so badly, ever see justice? As for me, a forbidden journalist, I am not exempt simply for being a journalist.